Turn to Genesis chapter 39, please. Genesis 39, I want to speak this morning about you can't keep a good man down. While you're turning there, I read an article this week in the Lock Haven paper about this woman who received an Amazon package. This is, as far as I know, a true story. And she got a notification on her phone. I guess those ring things can do that or something. And shortly after the package was delivered, she got another notice, and she was able to look at the video, and a bear had stolen the package. Came right on her front porch and ran away with the thing in her mouth. And what seems most disconcerting about this is the package was toilet paper. Now, I know things were rough last year, and that was one of the things that was hard to come by, but if the bears are already starting to stockpile toilet paper, we're in trouble. Oh, well. Genesis 39, let's begin reading in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, and which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You know, maintaining a right spirit when asked to do a task that you dread, or enduring some unsavory task to do, is not easy. I've done a lot of things in my life, worked a lot of different jobs, and I've had some unpleasant things to do at times. Working on the farm that Ben now works at out there, and where Jesse's going on Tuesday, one of the tasks that usually fell to me as the hired hand was to clean out the grain bins before harvest. And you think, you know, that you got this steel bin, and it's probably, I don't know what, 30 feet across or something like that, but then there's a pit inside of concrete that the auger goes down into to scoop the thing out, so you don't have to just scoop everything from the floor. Well, the grain that sits in there all winter long and all spring long, or what's left of it, begins to rot because moisture gets in there and everything. And for the life of me, I could never understand why we had to wait until the 1st of June, when the temperature is 100 degrees, for me to have to go into the bin and clean it out. And I'll confess, I did not always do that without some grumbling and complaining. Sometimes there's a lot of grumbling and complaining. That's tough. When a nasty job like that, and it could have been done when the temperature was maybe 60 degrees instead of 100 degrees, but that's me, you know. And that wasn't Joseph. I mean, if anybody had a right to grumble and complain, it was Joseph. First, he's despised and mistreated by his brothers, and then sold to some strangers into slavery. Then he gets down into Egypt as a slave and is bought by this Potiphar, who puts him to work. but begins to notice, you know, this guy's got something here. And he does well in there, but then things turn sour again and he ends up in jail. I mean, talk about things going from bad to worse. That was the life of Joseph for a time. But the striking thing about this is you never find any indication that Joseph complained. Never fussed, never fumed about whatever situation he was in. He just worked hard, strove to improve himself, and only to be falsely cured, but he endured it all without protest or complaint. In each circumstance, he gained favor with those who were his superiors. He became a leader, whether it be his home, Potiphar's house, in prison, or later in Pharaoh's palace. He couldn't be kept down. That's the thing. None of this was by coincidence either. None of this happened apart from God's knowledge of what was taking place. So how is it? How is Joseph capable of doing that? Let's look at several things here. First, I want you to see that he was diligent in his duties. He accepted every responsibility and dedicated himself completely to it. Look again at chapter 39, beginning of verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now, that's a big plus right there. You think, well, and ourselves, think about it. Your brothers have just turned on you. First, they were going to kill him. But one of them stood up and said, no, wait a minute, we can't do that. So then they sell him into slavery. But God was with him. That's the time when a lot of us will say, God, where are you? But God was with him. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. So there's something about Joseph, not only in his knowledge of God being with him, but to the point where that's recognizable to other people. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Man, this guy's got a knack. This guy's of some great value to me. And it says, verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. He's in charge of it all. Joseph's got the free run of everything in this guy's house. He trusts him because of his diligence to his duties. Verse 5, it came to pass for the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Man, this guy's doing stuff on this place I've never been able to do myself. He's taken this thing farther than I could have ever done it. Let him go, man. He dropped the reins and Joseph was in complete control. Notice this. And the blessing of the Lord was upon him, all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. He's not even overseeing him, because he's not worried, because of the quality of this man. Save the bread, which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. You know, one of the probably the biggest complaints that you'll hear of employers today is that that's the type of employee that's available. Dealing with a slack hand. People that just want a paycheck. They don't want a job. They're taking the job because they want a paycheck. And they're going to do as little as possible to be able to get that paycheck. Anybody that's not like that is above the norm. They're like Joseph. But read on, he says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Well, that was fulfilled in the life of Joseph, that verse right there. Look at chapter 11, verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You got a job, do the job. Fulfill your responsibilities. Do what's expected of you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Do it with your might. Do it to the best of your ability. I've mentioned my dad many times. Most of you are familiar with my story, my testimony. My dad was an alcoholic. Pretty rough in some ways. Pretty rough treatment in a lot of ways. But you know what? In spite of how late my dad might have been out the night before, he still got up and went to work in the morning. He worked hard. And he taught me the value of working hard. Son, keep busy. If you got to find a broom to just clean up the floor, keep busy. Work. So in spite of the things that can be said negatively about my dad, there were some good qualities, and that was one of them. And he passed it on to me, and I'm trying to pass it on to my kids as well. Don't be messing around. Do it with your might. Be a valuable asset to your employer. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business. He's going through a list of things here that ought to be there to be expected of a Christian. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving in the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Diligent about what's put in your responsibility to do. And this is Joseph's situation. After finding himself a slave in a foreign land, a servant to somebody else, he just buckled down and worked and rose to this position where the man just turned everything over to him. Knew nothing about what was going on in the affairs of his life. He trusted him. And all was going pretty good till Potiphar's wife set her sights on Joseph. Deceived him, tried to get him to lie with her. You know the story, and he fled. He left his coat behind. He fled from her. He wasn't going to stick around. He wasn't going to hope that maybe it could be undiscovered. He just says, I'm leaving. And left his coat behind. Well, she said that, turned it around and blamed Joseph as the one who had made the advance, who tried to rape her, and he ends up in prison. So much for his diligent work, right? But the story doesn't end there. It continues on. It would seem like his world had just crumbled now as things were starting to look good for him. But he put his nose to the grindstone. He served faithfully. Look at chapter 39, verse 21. He's in prison now. Let's start in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him, put him into this prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not on to anything that was under his hand. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Justice just went to work again. Well, here we go. Starting all over again. From an even lower position than he was before. But no complaint. Nothing said about that. But let me just stop for a moment and take a little tangent here. Think about this. Joseph has been accused of attempted rape. Why is he just put in prison? Wouldn't you think in this culture, but you see, Potiphar knew Joseph, and he knew his wife. And I think Potiphar knew that the charges were trumped, but his hands were tied because the accusation was made, and how would it look for him to take the side of a servant over his wife? I know that can't be proven from Scripture. That's my speculation on that, but it does. I do have that question. Why wasn't he executed? Why is he just in prison? But they knew the character of Joseph. And now as a prisoner, the guard of the prison sees the same thing that Potiphar saw. And suddenly, Joseph's in charge. He's still in prison, okay? But he's in charge. His position, his standing has risen as high as it can in the environment that he is in. He was content in his situation, whether it be in his home, despised by his brothers who tried to kill him, whether it be as a slave in Potiphar's household or as in a prison, he's content. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned, Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You know, that's the trouble with American Christians. We struggle with contentment. I mean, we have got so much. We are so, yeah, I know that there's things wrong, okay? I know, and some of you are struggling with some things. But God said, look at Joseph. Paul was in prison when he wrote Philippians 4:11. And he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. And he's not talking about Pennsylvania or Michigan. He's talking about his condition. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And that attitude led he and Silas, after being imprisoned and beaten and chained, to rise at midnight and sing and praise God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all the earth shall praise thy name, and earth and sky and sea. Only thou art holy. There's none beside thee. I'm sure he didn't sing that song, but I'll bet it was the same sentiment in the songs that he sang. Folks, we got nothing to grumble about. We got no reason. How'd you like to be in Afghanistan right now? Or some of these third world countries, not even knowing if you're going to eat today. We have so much, and yet we complain so often. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, wouldn't you say godliness is an important quality? But Paul says it needs something added to it. It's great gain to have contentment with the godliness. I can be godly without being content, but something's missing. For he brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Job said, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return hither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You read what God said about Job. He was a just man, perfect in his generation. He feared God and eschewed evil. And by that statement he made, he was content. How important that is, folks. Verse 8, and having food and raiment and a two-car garage and a split-level home, oh no, let us be there with content. If you got something to eat and something to wear, anything, not steak and french fries and all the trimmings, not the fanciest suit, just food and raiment. Be content. Oh, how important that is, folks. So Joseph is in prison. He has gained a position there in the prison over all the other prisoners. The prison guard has turned everything over to him, just like Potiphar had. It's under your control. You call the shots, Joseph. I'll back you, whatever you say. And then these two other guys that have been thrown into prison by Pharaoh, the baker and the cupbearer, they both have a dream one night, and they come to Joseph and they said, we don't understand this. And so Joseph explains what their dream is. The one is going to lead to, they don't understand it at the time, but basically one's going to lead to freedom and the other one's going to lead to execution. But he interprets the dream for them. That you're going to, one of you is going to get out of here. And he says, just remember me when you stand before Pharaoh. When you guys get out of here and you have your chance to state your case before Pharaoh, remember me. And they didn't. They were forgotten. He was forgotten. Even his kindness and helpfulness didn't seem to matter to some people. Look at chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 14 of Genesis. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. He's recognizing the mistreatment. He's just not fussing about it. But he says, here's an opportunity. Maybe things can change for me. So just remember me. Look at verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lift up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave unto the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. 2 years, his kindness has been forgotten. 2 years, he waits. And what's he doing in the meantime? He's serving, fulfilling his responsibility, continuing on content in his situation. Then Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret the dream, so somebody I'm bad. I forgot. This guy Joseph in prison, the butler says, I had this dream, and he interpreted his dream for me. I think he can help you, Pharaoh. But 2 years. Look at chapter 41, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this. So Joseph is called. He interprets the dream now for Pharaoh. The stranger, a slave, became chief over all in the palace. Not only is he released from prison, but he has now been promoted to a position higher than what he had in Potiphar's house. Read on here, verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house. Well, I don't know if I finished the last verse. For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. This foreigner who came to Egypt as a slave is now in command of the nation of Egypt. This is the world power at that time. Joseph has been handed the reins. It's all under his control. Pharaoh says, I still sit on the throne, but I'm going to go play golf. Take care of things for me. Verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Now, this isn't just a ring. This is a ring when some important document is taken care of and they wrap it up and they seal it. This ring is used as an imprint on there to show that it's the king has authorized this and it's the seal. That's the ring that Joseph was given. And upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him as to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. He's got the key to the kingdom. He controls things. It's all left to him. This boy who was a slave. It's taken 13 years to get to this point. If I've got the numbers figured out, he was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He's 30 years old at this point. It's taken 13 years. Some rough patches in those 13 years. But look where he is now, in complete control. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We want it instantly. God says, be patient. Wait for it. Show yourself worthy of receiving the benefit, the blessing. That's what Joseph did. He served faithfully. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? That's what Joseph was. He was faithful in the little things, even in prison. And now God's got him where he was leading through this entire process. Because that's probably the most important thing that we need to keep in view in looking at the life of Joseph. You think, well, oh, it's just, man, what a string of bad luck. Now, luck is a false god. God had a purpose in all of this. God was orchestrating it to get Joseph in the place that he needed to be to provide for his family. And yes, there's still some rough times ahead of them, but all this is according to the plan and the purpose of God, not only for Joseph, but for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To get them into this land, to protect them, to allow them to grow to the point where they can then go and inhabit the land that God had prepared for them, the land of Canaan. All according to the purpose of God. He had him where he needed him, where he wanted him. And he served as under the Lord. He served one master throughout his entire life. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, so they've all been now brought down into Egypt, even Jacob was brought down there, and they're all taken care of, provided for through this famine that is striking the land. Now they've got plenty of bread because Joseph's in control of it. And he's got Pharaoh's blessing to bring the family down and care for them and provide for them during this time of famine. But now Jacob dies. Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father. After he had buried his father, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. You know, that's kind of interesting. You know what they're doing? They're projecting to Joseph what they would do in his position. But that's not Joseph. They don't really know this brother of theirs. They think they're done. He's only been holding back because Dad's been around. Now that Dad's gone, he's going to wreak his vengeance on us. But read on. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, you know, remember what Dad said. Don't forget what Dad said. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did that unto thee evil, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. As they remind him of this promise, it breaks his heart. that they could think that of him. When Potiphar and the prison captain and Pharaoh, in their short acquaintance with Joseph, saw the quality of man he was, they read his qualities and they honored it. And these brothers can't say it. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. Guys, I'm not the evil one here. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. He's not even ascribing that evil to them. He says, I'm putting that aside. Because I see God had a purpose in all of this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God's working in each and every one of our lives good. At the moment, it may not look like that. And the instant that you're in right now, you might think, where's God in any of this? But you're only seeing this right now before you. God sees the whole picture. And Joseph's gotten a glimpse of that. And he says, God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. God meant it for good. God had a purpose. God was the master that Joseph was serving. Through all of it, he honored God. And he remained content in whatsoever state he was in. And the result was God rewarded him. Look at... I'm going to skip over these. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and you see the things that took place in his life, but it was all, I'm serving God. And he writes this, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got victory. We've no reason to be wallowing in defeat because God's given us victory. Then he goes on, he says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's got a reward that he's going to give to those who faithfully serve him. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. In fact, he even told Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to be tough times. We Americans don't know what tough times are. I know some people been through some rough stuff. But by comparison, But God is faithful. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. In Galatians 6, he said, in due season we'll reap if we faint not. But he says in chapter 10 of verse 36 of Hebrews, For we have need of patience. There's that nasty word. 13 years for Joseph of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. There's going to be disappointments and setbacks and lack of appreciation and opposition throughout your life. But what would you rather have? Man's applause or God's reward? Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm ready to be offered in the time of my departure is at hand. But I'm pressing for a prize. I want to grasp what God, all that God desires to bestow upon me. And so he kept focused on that prize throughout his life, through the beatings, through the shipwrecks, through the imprisonments, through the whippings, through all stonings, because there was a prize he was striving for. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I myself should be a castaway. There's a prize to be obtained, folks, if we'll learn to be content, keep our eyes focused on the Lord, and serve with diligence. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, so many examples, some I had hoped to make reference to this morning, of individuals who had done just this, that Joseph did. Not just in biblical accounts, but people even alive right now today. I think of Sam Gipp and the 50 years that he's been serving you with all the setbacks and the trials and the struggles, the pain that he's in all the time. And even now with the voice that should have been cleared up in a few weeks has gone on to 8 months. Yet he's still preaching, he's still teaching, he's still serving you without complaint. God, I thank you for examples like that. And God, may you speak to our hearts this morning about our own lives and help us to see how pathetic our grumbling and complaining is. God, may we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Lord, you've promised us we can be seated together with you in heavenly places. Help us, O God, to strive to realize the fulfillment of that promise in our individual lives. God, challenge the hearts of your people. Lord, I don't know what the future holds for us, but whatever it be, God, may we stay faithful to the end. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 2.